This is ReConversations. Welcome to this special series of the Crexie Podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate, powered by NNN Pro Group, the market-leading investment sales and advisory team. In this exclusive mini-series, Crexie visited ICSC Recon live in Las Vegas from the floor of the convention center at the NNN Pro Group's booth to sit down with movers and shakers in all things commercial real estate. Our mission? Investigate trends, educate listeners, and uncover ground-level insights into the latest industry news. With ReConversations, the Crexie Podcast hopes to provide next-level access into the inner workings of commercial real estate for this generation and the next. Welcome, and thank you all for joining us for this special series of the Crexie Podcast. ReConversations. We are here live at the NNN Pro booth at ICSC's Recon 2023 on the floor. And we are thrilled to be sitting down with Craig Weintraub, principal at CLR Property Corp. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So give me a little bit of your background. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into commercial real estate.
So our family has been a part of, has been in the real estate industry for over 70 years. Our grandfather came to this country in 1922 with his brother. They from Austria-Hungary, Eastern Europe, and at a time in the early 20s where thankfully they got out because life changed over the next decade or so.
Yeah.
So they came here through Ellis Island and began working in Brooklyn and washing windows on apartment buildings, and over time saved their money for, you know, pennies a window. And eventually purchased a building that they were washing windows on.
Wow.
You know, fast forward some time, that one building became two, two became three, and they developed a nice small portfolio for themselves, eventually till we had over 2,000 units all around New York City. But the grind of New York City real estate and the intense management is one of the major factors that made us want to move on from it and reallocate our portfolio. And so in 2018, we did just that. We sold our entire multifamily portfolio and 1031 into net lease property across the country.
What timing?
Great timing. I don't think we'd be able to hit that mark again.
Yeah.
It was, we closed in January and March of 2019.
Do you mind sharing kind of what your exit cap rates look like?
The exit cap rates, we were getting about, I mean, we were probably in the threes.
Sub four.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, as far as what we as owners were, you know, were taking in, and with all of the rising costs, rising restrictions, it became a very suffocating situation.
Right.
And we wanted to move into a category where we weren't so squeezed and we had more freedom. And more cash flow.
Yeah,
because that always helps.
Management intensive, you know, and yeah. You know, giving yourselves a raise at the same time. That's,
we went from one end of the management spectrum to literally the other end.
Right.
Yeah. So whereas now, you know, you have to check and make sure that taxes are paid and insurance certificates are up to date, and
right,
the rental increases are there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that your tenants are taking care of the property as they should be per the terms of their leases.
Exactly.
So how did you get introduced to net lease properties? You know, why was that the vehicle for this really, you know, generational portfolio that you decided? I mean, it's a huge decision, you know, to, you know, completely exit a sector and enter another one. Why net lease?
So it was influenced in 2018 by our CPA, who wasn't our CPA at the time, but because of his encouragement, has become our CPA because we rely on him heavily for his advice. And he showed us a side-by-side between where we are now and what the opportunity looks like if we were to move into net lease. And I mean, we were very conservative. We were looking at like four caps. And even then it made it worth it. So just to give you a quick up to date, our last analysis, the portfolio that we sold in New York City is down 40%, and the net lease product that we got into is up 30%. So it's obviously the rent laws that passed in June of 2019 had a big part of that.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the biggest things that we worried about was appreciation, because we knew with New York City real estate, there was going to be appreciation. There's a lot of struggle along the way, and as long as you get through it, you'll be rewarded.
Right.
But yeah, so we were unsure about that, and to see that trend in that direction, and obviously it's been a unique 4 years. We've been through a lot, but we don't look back at all.
Right. Yeah. Now, who were some of your mentors, and how did they shape this career path, you know, from, you know, starting from multifamily and now in the net lease space?
Yeah. So, you know what? I mean, when you're from a family that has real estate holdings that, you know, are multi-generational, you, especially in New York City, you're kind of in the frame of reference, frame of mind that you're going to have this forever and you're just going to take care of it and eventually pass it on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
You're never thinking about any form of, you know, moving out of that. So we were kind of fixed into the dogma of this is what it's going to be and we're going to just manage these properties and struggle with them. There really was no sense of growth because the cash flows were so poor, and it was a struggle for a very long time. But not until we did this exchange where we got into the net lease world, where you're able to come out of the fog of that intense management to where you now have freedom to think and to get out there and network and not have the strains of the day in and day out management, the calls about a leak that's going four stories or broken toilets or, you know, tenants that you have 12 of them living in a one bedroom apartment and there's bed bugs. So there's a lot of scenarios that you just get so tied up in that world.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't really lend to much development or growth. Of course, people still achieve that, but not until we really exchanged did we finally have that wherewithal and the sun started shining again to where, you know, you're able to really latch on to great people that, you know, between the Marcus Similichap, who sold our properties, Joe Kosum in New York City. And he put us directly in touch with Glenn Kanofsky and Jeff Cantor, Josh Cantor, sorry, at NNN Pro. And they became our mentors because they really showed us the way. And we trusted them then, and we trust them even more now.
You know, there's something to be said when you're working with people that are at the top of not only their game, but everyone's game, you know, in that space.
Yeah.
You really do get expert advice and really does lead you to, you know, making a more informed decision,
yeah.
You know, as opposed to, you know, working with, you know, perhaps somebody that isn't as much of an expert, maybe expert in, you know, apartments, but not the expert in, you know, net lease retail assets. So mm-hmm. being able to have, you know, both sides of that equation really like met is, you know, yields, you know, incredible results.
Yeah.
So what are some lessons that you learned early on that became invaluable going forward, you know, when it comes to retail?
You know, something that we took with us from the get-go, which was the principle of, you know we're getting into net lease and it's got lease right on it. And one of the most important factors is the lease in place.
Right.
But also coming from a, you know, where the soil is worth a lot of value in New York City, it was important for us to not to have a balance of the two, have soil that is has strong value, but then also have a lease on top of it that also has value, and it was a lot easier to find those in late 2018, early 2019 than it is today.
Yeah.
And if you do, then the cap rates, you know, are very interesting and low.
It's become really competitive.
Very.
And I, you know, as part of that, you think, you know, the flight to, you know, safety in terms of, you know, 1031 exchange buyers looking for something that, you know, is solid where they, you know, have intrinsic value in the real estate itself, as well as value in the lease. You know, what do you think is driving that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a very crazy time. I mean, we're looking at interest rates now and the environment and we'll be able to look back at this time and really get a full analysis. But, you know, credit has always been a big thing. We didn't give up a penny of rent during COVID. And that to us was massively
huge
in terms feeling comfortable in this product type.
Right.
You know, when you're moving into net lease, it's also a good vehicle to park. Mm-hmm. If you're undecided for several years, because mm-hmm. it's you know, you can 1031 from there, but it's one where we found, hey, this is not a place where we really want to go. The returns are great. There's escalations in the leases, but credit was very, very important in the beginning, and it proved itself through COVID.
So, do you have any let's call it favorite mistakes or moments that kind of course corrected you onto your current path at the time that you didn't recognize as opportunities?
So our very first property that we put a deposit on and acquired, it was a building that was built in 1892 in downtown Nashville.
Wow.
It was old. Yep. It still is old.
And still standing.
We were coming out of pre-war properties in New York City. And even though we're entering the net lease world where it's not our responsibility to care for it, mm-hmm. It's up to the tenant, we still didn't want to go into such an old product.
Right.
Especially while we're watching these brand new Del Tacos opening and IHOPs and Panera Bread. So we said, so that was originally something we did not want. And had it not been for Glenn Kanofsky and Josh Cantor pushing us, we would not have purchased it. And as of today, that is our best asset.
Nice.
Yeah.
So in your experience, what are the biggest trends that you're seeing in the commercial real estate market right now? And I mean, everybody's talking about interest rates. How is that influencing things?
I mean, like you said before, it's gotten very competitive. You're seeing a lot of the cap rates are condensed. They're not as you know, they were a lot more spread out when we started this in 2019. Things that, you know, had a higher cap rate, better return, seem to be, you know, right there at a five cap or 5.5 cap. So we're kind of at a standstill. I mean, we still transact every year, but we, you know, we try and stay low leveraged, and we try and make sure that we go after quality product. And, you know, I'm going to segue for a second into Crexie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I knew nothing about Crexie before the net lease world. And, you know, you have a broker, but the fact that you can also get online and search for properties in a way that is almost feels like it's set up for net lease properties because of the search functions. So that's a huge component for us. And it's hard to find anything that's even remotely close to that from a standpoint of looking up listings and seeing what's out there.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I know when Crexie first started, the net lease brokers were the first ones to adopt. You know, they were really the earliest users of Crexie.
Yeah.
So, you know, it makes sense to hear that coming from you, that, you know, it feels like, you know, it was set up for this. Well, you know, it was the brokers that actually set it up for themselves. You know, they were the first ones. And you know what? Net lease brokers tend to be on the cutting edge, you know, because they have to be. You know, it is an extremely competitive space, and you need to be leveraging everything that you can to get your deals out there, you know, get, you know, buyers' attention on it. So appreciate you using the site, and glad to hear that it's been, you know, successful for you.
Yeah.
Moving on, what do you think are the biggest challenges facing the commercial industry market right now?
What the Fed's going to do.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. I feel like once we know where the ceiling is, where we know where the top is, then things will start trending in the other direction. But as long as interest rates are rising at a historical pace, you're going to just see, you know, it's going to create confusion. It's going to create, you know, you see some things overpriced. You see some things that are, you know, people are still holding their ground.
Mm-hmm.
No one really knows what's going to happen. But obviously what goes up must come down.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know that there's a purpose behind what the Fed is doing. We might not all agree on how they're going about it, the pacing, et cetera. But ultimately, this is a phase of time we'll look back on, as there have been many and will always be many ups and downs. But yeah, so I mean, we're happy that and lucky that, you know, we did this in 2019. So we have, you know, loans that go out 10 years. And so we can kind of make it through this time without having to, you know, make any harsh decisions.
And what do you think are some opportunities that are emerging in the commercial real estate market now?
merging in commercial real estate.
And you don't have to give away all your secrets, but yeah. Is there something that you're feeling particularly bullish on?
You know what, to be honest with you, we, you know, the pedigree of who we are as a family office is rooted very strongly in multifamily. And, you know, that's a sector that we've been looking to re-enter. Yeah, so that's really where we're looking at new opportunities in the multifamily world.
Mm-hmm. The I think coming from such a management intensive product type and moving out of it, you've got experience doing that. Whereas, right. You know, a lot of first time investors, when they get into multifamily, it can be overwhelming. You know, it's a baptism by fire because, you know, you're the point of contact for, you know, 10, 20, 100, you know, 1,000 people that are, you know, relying on you and your management group to take care of their problems when it comes to a building. So,
yeah.
It must be nice to know, like, hey, you know, we've already cut our teeth doing this. So if the juice is worth the squeeze, you know, we know how to roll up our sleeves and get it done.
Yeah. And it's also trying, you know, whereas now we can, make better choices.
Right.
Not better choices, because our grandfather made a great choice back when, you know, they made decisions, but times changed, things evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're looking in business friendly states,
yeah.
More so of the garden style apartment opportunities, both in, you know, the new build, the class A's, but also, you know, the roll up your sleeves, value add class C's. So that's really, you know, we're underwriting multiple times a week, several properties just to see, you know, what opportunities are out there. But it's difficult everywhere you look.
Right.
Someone told me this in the real estate industry, just about, you know, finding a great property is like truffle hunting. You have to find that truffle.
Yeah.
But when you do, it's great. So, you know, that's what we're doing now. And that's really where we see the opportunity and the returns, because it's almost like a correction period for net lease. And we'll have to see how that shakes out.
So I've got a couple of rapid fire questions for you before we sign off here. So if you were just given $50 million today, but you had to invest it immediately, what would be your go-to asset type and location and why?
So I would not have an asset type or location. I would call Glenn Kanofsky and Josh Cantor, and they would be the ones to answer that question for me. It's almost like you have to, whether it's legal, CPA, brokers, who are, to me, are the gatekeepers of the industry, you really have to choose the best possible people you can and get out of the way. And so that's kind of like what we do with the philosophy. I mean, granted, we're very hands-on. But you know, we try to really bring on great people, great advisors that help us along the way.
Excellent. All right. Next up, favorite tool or software that you use on the job?
Yeah. So we're back to Crexie. So Crexie is the go-to. I mean, I literally on a daily basis, I go in and I do my check and I do my drop-down menu down to, you know, last 24 hours. And that's how I try and see new deals that come on. I get the emails as well. But I just like the manual, just going there and checking out and to see what's new.
So you're on there every day?
Almost every day.
Oh, nice.
Almost every day. And, because it's just so it's quick, it's intuitive. It gives you the leads that you need, or you give the broker a call and you get more information, you download, you know, the OM right there. So it is to us like the most intuitive, you know. I guess I would attribute it to what, you know, an Apple computer is in the late 90s. Early 2000s, when everybody was very heavy in Windows.
Yeah.
And then you're getting into a very user-friendly interface,
mm-hmm.
Like Apple. So yeah, it's look, if it's ease of use, it's got me. So that's our biggest tool.
Love to hear when it's working. And then what is a highlight transaction that you've worked with the NNN Pro Group recently?
A highlight transaction. I would say, I mean, I brought this one up earlier. I mean, that's the highlight transaction that we've done, which is Merchants in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
That to us is our centerpiece property. But let me try and think if there's anything else beyond that. You know, NNN Pro, they were able to bring us also off market deals.
Yeah.
So, you know, while you're, you know, you can get a lot of stuff online, but you can also, there's only things that you can get through relationships.
Right.
And they brought us a couple of properties, but one of which was a Duke University Health in Apex, North Carolina. And great tenant, great credit, great location. And, you know, that's one of our favorites as well.
Excellent. And then finally, what's the most common misconception about your job or industry?
That there's nothing to do.
Net lease. You just sit back and go to the mailbox, and that's all the work you have to do, right?
It definitely is a misconception. Now, that's not saying that it is the least labor intensive, because it is, but there still are things to do. You still obviously have to be responsible with the property. You have to check in on the tenants. You have to make sure everything is up to date. You have to make sure they're taking care of the property. So annually we do site visits. We're constantly, you know, making sure our insurance certificates are up to date. But then again, you know, then there's a fire. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not, you know, it's not your concern, and the tenant will remediate. You still want to go and see it. But there's also other things. You know, there could be violations that a tenant may receive. Maybe if there's grease going from the garbage area into a manhole and
ADA compliance.
Yeah, so you're always wanting to you know, follow up and check. Or, you know, we have a Del Taco in Douglasville, Georgia. And they are creating a turning lane right in front. And so that's encroaching upon the property and their use of eminent domain in order to take over a portion of that to create their right-hand turn lane into the parking lot where Del Taco is. So there's a lot of things that, you know, even though it's just you have to go through the motions. It's not so much, you know, generally hard work, but, you know, there is a time commitment.
Well, as we wrap up, are there any parting words that you'd like to share with our audience?
Not that I could think of.
Well, you know, you've been really generous with your time. I appreciate it. This is, you know, an extremely busy convention, so we really appreciate you taking time out of it to come sit with us and share with us, you know, your experience and your expertise. So thank you so much.
Of course.
Thanks to everyone who tuned in to today's Reconversations, powered by NNN Pro Group. A special shout out and thanks to our friends at the NNN Pro Group for hosting us at their booth this week at ICSC. As mentioned earlier, NNN Pro Group is the market leading net lease investment sales and advisory team in the country. To learn more, you can visit their website at nnnpro.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure not to miss the next one. Subscribe to the Crexy Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/Crexy for video recordings of each episode. Goodbye, stay well, we'll see you next time.